Lives of Pitch, the podcast where we pitch the best films that'll never get made. I'm Matt Turner.
And I'm Tom McGrath. And the game goes like this. We ask you, our devoted listeners, to come up with titles that you'd like to hear us pitch.
We then collaborate, coming up with story points, casting, and even marketing strategies.
Without further ado, this week's title is... The Portaloo Murders.
The Portaloo Murders.
Yes.
Holy
shit.
Yeah, holy shit. In a chemical toilet. That's going to be a heck of a one location movie.
Yes. That is what we're doing this week. One location movies. To pitch one location movies with us, Ed Crawley.
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome back.
Thank you for having
coincidentally,
me.
Coincidentally, the man who gave me the idea for this genre this week.
I'm so sorry.
I mean, given that this is, like, I mean, a one-location movie is one thing, right? Yeah. A one-location short, like, Inside Number 9, in a train carriage, was pretty impressive. Mm. Turning it down to a Portaloo is going to be a wild ride.
Feature length.
Fecal length.
Let's give Ed a hand, everyone. So,
you've suggested a genre. Sum it up for me in a quick sentence, just so that people know what one location movies are.
One location movies are films set in one location in real time.
Basically, that's what we're doing this
usually
week.
Usually in real time.
Usually in real time.
Usually.
No, they are all in real time for now.
Yeah. Damn it. We got to
usually. I didn't know you were a fundamentalist one location filmer.
I mean, it's purist or not at all.
Yes, the title this week, by the way, The Portaloo Murders, given to us by Sean Ashcroft.
Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, Sean. He got in touch with us on Twitter. We are at Life's a Pitch Show on Twitter if you want to give us a follow there. We are also taking title suggestions every week on Facebook as well, facebook.com/ Life's a Pitch Podcast, if you want to give us a little like there.
Or a big like.
Or a big like.
Choose yourself. Yeah. Doesn't matter. It matters to us. Same size like on our end, but your end, you could give it a big or a small like.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you want to like it and then post on our page, this was a big like.
Yeah, if you want to tell us, we're never going to stop you telling us that this whether it's a big or a small like. Yeah. In fact, just say, like, every time you like something on our page, if you could say big like, then we'd know that you really care. Mm. So just if we can have that, please. Thank you very much.
This is a big like. Yeah.
In fact, every tweet you send to us ever, or Facebook comment or anything, just if you could just put big like on the end of it.
Big like or little like.
And that's a way you can find or little like if it's only a little if it's like three words. Little like. We enjoy the little likes as well. Mm. That might be how you can identify other people who listen to Lives of Pitch.
Yeah, basically.
Just say big like at the end of sentences and see what happens.
Hashtag big like.
Have you seen...
We're starting it. We're starting the hashtag.
Have you seen...
Hashtag big like.
Have you seen Get Out? Brilliant, wasn't it? Big like.
Then they're like... What's Big Like all about? Well, I'll tell you.
It's Big Like.
Listen to this podcast.
Yeah, listen to this podcast.
Man.
Then you'll get in on the Big Like
absolutely
hype.
Brilliant.
Big Like.
Hashtag Big Like hype.
No, we're not hashtagging it. Just say Big Like.
Hashtag Big
That's
Like.
All
hashtag
I want.
That Big Like life.
just no, because it's got. You don't want to say a hashtag, because that makes it gimmicky, right? Mm. Just into everyday sentences, like, oh man, these pancakes are great. Big Like.
I may do this.
Yeah, I was thinking, I might just start this.
Oh my god, I've been playing Legend of Zelda every single day. Big like. It makes you sound a little bit like a caveman.
You heard
as well.
It here first, guys. The moment Kanye West says big like, just passing.
We'll have made it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll be ripping.
He'll have
us,
no
but...
idea where it comes from. Yeah. Just.
But you
when
will.
When you hear a celebrity say big like that.
Yeah.
You'll know where it's from. I don't think they will, but you'll know.
Yeah.
Life's a Pitch Podcast started it.
Remember who pitched it?
Big like.
Big like.
Okay, so do you want to hear some honourable one location mentions?
Yes, please, Tom.
Okay, so from Stephen Thomas, we've got Security Booth Secrets.
Security Booth Secrets. Okay. So my immediate thought was theme park. Like, oh, someone in a kind of security booth at a theme park.
Yeah.
But...
Jurassic Park. No.
I like... Right. Oh, my God. So I think it should be... This should be a comedy of errors. Hmm. Like, someone has knocked something over and got into an embarrassing situation in their security booth. And obviously the security booth is locked. It's got big locks all around it.
Hmm.
And there are all these things happening where people need to come into the security booth, but the security guard, played by, like, Peter Serafinowicz, like,
has
casting
to... Casting for a security guard. I was like, oh, yeah, that's
great. He has to, like, for instance, he was just, like, he's clearing out his... his brother's like died or something, right? And he's clearing out his old house.
This is already two locations, man.
Yeah.
No, because he comes to work.
Okay.
So he gets into a security booth and someone says, "Oh, what's that big box for?" And he says to his friend, he's on the phone and he says to his friend, "I'm just clearing out Mike's house." You don't know what that means yet, but I'm just clearing out Mike's house. And I found this big box of porn. It's not what you want to find in your brother's house.
No, he took it to work with him.
Yeah, and, like, and then I got the call that the Tony had gone off ill, and I had to come straight into work.
Mm.
So he's had to bring everything with him.
Yeah,
because he rode his bike in.
Yeah.
And so he's got a big box of porn that he doesn't want at work. And so he can't let anyone into the,
Right. So instead of using the security camera feeds to make a film where someone's watching these stories go off, you've had it to someone not letting other people into the security booth. Because he's got a stash of his dead brother's porn.
Yeah.
That's exactly what this film is.
That's so annoying.
Because he's barricaded himself in, because he's got this stash of porn, he can now can't get rid of the porn.
Mm. Well, the problem is, hang on, because the secret has to be inside the security booth.
Yeah. I don't think this is what Stephen Thomas wanted.
Well, you know what, Stephen?
I don't care. I don't care. This is not what I wanted.
If you want to put some security stuff in there, camera stuff in there, and make this a bigger thing, absolutely. But the reason he can't open his door is because there's a big box of porn all over the floor.
This sounds like my childhood.
Right. We couldn't... We can draw 50-50 on this, right? Yeah. We can have this be about him trying to not let anyone see his dead brother's porn.
Yeah.
And have my whole... I think there should be like a heist caper going off in the theme park.
I think he should be trying to foil a heist without letting anyone into the security booth.
But I think the film should be about not him not letting people in. But in the background, if you watch really carefully, second or third watch, you can see this entire thing unfolding on all the camera screens.
And he's too busy going through the porn.
He's
too busy having a sort of like a comedy of errors, sort of like meet the parents style, don't let the boss in, but I spilled my yogurt cup.
And the whole thing is actually shot using and told from the perspective of the security cameras in the security booth. So it's all done in kind of low res, grainy black and white.
Yeah, but you can see on the camera feed that there's this whole heist caper inside this theme park going off. If you watch again and again, like, it's just an Easter egg.
Yeah,
all visual storytelling.
So you could do it through one of those like they do in Inside Number 9. I said Mighty Number 9. Inside Number 9, where the feed is split.
Mm.
Ooh.
So you have him doing stuff in the top left, and that's where most of the action goes off. Mm. But you can sort of see people running through the rest of the park, The other smaller boxes on the screen keep flicking between different perspectives and turning and stuff.
Yes.
I was going to say, like the TV show Zap.
Fucking hell.
No, you don't zoom out of one and zoom into the other.
No, like just the opening shot of the
except they're not all actually in windows waving at you from a set.
The 90s kids TV show Zap.
Zap.
Maybe at one point Peter Serafinowicz just does exactly that. He turns towards the camera.
Just waves out all our
minutes from the end, Peter Serafinowicz, like, the boss is coming into the room, right? So Peter Serafinowicz picks up the box of porn, scrambles it all together, throws it out of the front of the frame onto the head of someone who's sneaking through the park.
And foils the heist. Yes.
Yeah. So you just see him lobbing this thing. It falls out of frame and then just... It just hits someone on the head somewhere else in the park.
That there, for your listeners, is an example of setup and payoff. Not the best example I can think of.
That's not an example of setup and payoff. That's an example of, like, breaking the every wall. Forget the fourth wall. That broke the third, second, first. The one before that as well. I don't know what that one was.
Oh, so not even like out of the window. Just out of the frame that he's in on screen.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no, that's brilliant.
He lobs it literally like Zazap. He picks up the box, throws it out of the frame. Zazap it falls through the frame and hits someone on a different camera.
That's amazing.
This is that for our American listeners.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Okay, so we've got one from Kerry Hammond, and it is IKEA, the place of no return.
Oh my god.
Wow. So this is quite a big place.
Yeah, that's the thing. One location, right? But IKEA is one location. But what if we set it on the crossroads? You know, in aisles?
Yeah.
I know this isn't really how an IKEA works because it's all that track.
Yeah.
Oh no. What if, you know that painted line around IKEA?
Yeah.
That you have to follow?
I've never been to IKEA. Could you please enlighten me?
Right. So in IKEA...
Ed looked at me then like, the fuck?
IKEA is laid out like a labyrinth, except the idea is that you have to go through every department in order to get to the end goal, right? So basically...
So the till. It's,
yeah. Well, kind of, but before you get there, you get to Indiana Jones-like warehouse.
Yeah, you get to Warehouse 13. Yeah.
Whoa.
Right, so, well, okay. Tom, you know what's coming here.
Yeah.
Ask every question you need. Don't tell him any more than the answers to these questions. Right.
I've seen this bit before.
Right, so... IKEA, IKEA, as it's pronounced.
That is how it's pronounced.
Shit.
Yeah.
It's like Nutella.
Yeah.
Nutella.
It's got the... little bits.
Yeah.
But IKEA, because there was an advert, I saw it at the cinema once, and it pronounced IKEA like that. I was like, holy
IKEA
fuck.
Sale.
I've never heard it said out loud by someone from Sweden.
Ask your fucking questions.
How many?
So, I've just got many.
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 I've got many questions about IKEA.
Okay.
Right.
This is just called the many questions game. It's where we give Tom no more answer than his actual questions.
Yeah.
So, IKEA. Right. You brought up Indiana Jones in a discussion about IKEA. And Indiana Jones, like the Ark of the Covenant thing.
Yeah.
Right. I want to know how IKEA... Like, the way it sounds, sounds like the queue line for a ride at a theme park.
Yeah.
Virtually, yeah. There's a line on the ground. You can deviate from the line, but if you make it back to the line all the time, there are arrows so that you can...
You can't go back.
You can. It's just that, like, it would be weird if you did.
Yeah.
It's like people that go the wrong way down in, like, a supermarket.
Yeah, you're going to bump into some people. Like, and you do bump into people. Sometimes you're like, oh shit, I needed a lampshade. But for some reason, the wizards at IKEA have figured it out that, like, I don't want to give too much information away here, but, like, you get to the bits you need before you get to the bits that you forget. Like, you get to it's the right order. Anyway, next question.
I guess, I don't know, because I've got in my mind, well, like you said, like, right, this is at the end of a thing. So does it then turn into Argos?
No.
No. No one helps you find these things. It is that room.
It turns into closing scene from Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah, so like you go on a track.
Yeah, and then the track opens up into this enormous warehouse.
Yeah.
Filled with virtually unmarked boxes.
So you're not in an enormous warehouse before?
No, no, no.
Because I always thought it was just like a...
No, no, before you're in a, you're in a, basically, what is a house, but drawn out.
Which many houses, you're a housing estate with no walls.
Yeah,
yeah.
Into a corridor, right? So, like, for instance, you'll get to all of the kitchens, and then all of, like, the bedrooms, but then, also, off to the side slightly, will be all of the wardrobes. And then you'll sort of go next, and there's, like, all of the plants... they're usually quite near the end. And lampshades as well, they're near the end as well. It's like all the crockery is there. And so it's just like you're going, being led by the nose.
But then when you get to the warehouse, what's in the warehouse?
All those things, everything you've just seen in boxes.
So it's like a taster thing.
It's the showroom, isn't it?
You can't just pick up a chair from IKEA and just carry it to the till.
Shit, you'd die.
You'd get shot by arrows.
There's eyes all over IKEA. Yeah, that's what the eyes.
They've got little slots in all the walls because all the walls are like modular. So I'm pretty sure those function as gas release, poison gas release.
I think you also get kind of just closing walls. Like,
yeah, absolutely. You know, two people in blue and yellow would just push together to walls.
Yeah. When you get to this warehouse, no one helps you.
No one helps you.
You have to find the things you found in the...
Yeah, you've got...
Based on map references you get upstairs.
Left only to the devices. With tiny pencils and a little bingo sheet. You've got marked down.
This is insane! That's not how commerce works!
So...
Tell Argos.
Argos, but without the customer service! Yeah.
So, but people will help you find the right bed for you, but then they go, okay, so the reference for this one is you look at the bottom, it's like
your little map reference,
and then you've got to go find
it. You've got to go fucking orienteering.
So, right,
wow,
this film is set on that line. Right, I'm taking you to IKEA.
So, I think this is the new IKEA where the line moves slowly.
Well, no, I think camera track is the line.
Yeah,
right. So. We get one big loop of the line straight away, right? Mm. And then we get to meet the characters along the way.
The doors open, so you do a lap, and then you pick up the first characters that come in that day.
Yeah.
And it's a fucking couple, early 40s, they're going shopping for a kid that's just off to university.
Yeah, and then they go, new couple who are just moving in together. And then they go, like old couple who don't understand the system at all, and have gone into the warehouse first or whatever. Like, it's like sort of this whole track, it keeps looping around.
You say old couple, that would be me. just walking straight into the warehouse.
You can't,
you literally can't get there. You've literally got to go through every other department first.
But what if you need a wee? You've got to run up and down.
No, you've got to find the bathroom segment.
Where someone's in a toilet cubicle talking about the...
Yeah, talking about the murder they just perpetrated. Yeah.
So the film is just a collection of short stories these people are having.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
But I think maybe...
The place of no return sounds so ominous. And yeah, it's just a really nice sort of anthology.
Because at the end, the old couple are like, I don't understand this. We bought this last week. And then someone goes, no returns.
The place of no return. Like, we don't have a title at the beginning of the film.
Do you have a receipt? No, I didn't get a no return.
Boom, IKEA. The place of no return. Yeah, that's a good idea for... I need to go to IKEA. We need to go for a Life's a Pitch.
You need to go to IKEA and have a 50p hot dog.
Well, the idea is...
They'll change your life.
The idea is soon we're going to have a Life's a Pitch headquarters. So, we'll have to get furniture for that.
With a real view of the Brooklyn Bridge.
Yeah.
Not a printed blind.
No, that's just, we're going to have a real blue... It's just going to be outside the window. We're going to put the blind outside the window so it looks...
You're going to have a little model outside the Brooklyn Bridge.
You're not actually getting a window, Tom. You're getting a blue light and a model of Brooklyn.
A blue light?
Yeah, one of those UV ones.
So yeah, those are the honourable mentions for our one location movies. Thank you to everyone who got in touch with us on Twitter and Facebook. Those are facebook.com/ Life's a Pitch podcast and Twitter @ Life's a Pitch show as well. So before we move on to our final pitch,
yeah,
which is The Portaloo Murders from Sean Ashcroft, we've got an award to get out.
Yay!
Yeah, the Yes Very Clever Award. Yay!
That's my favourite award.
Yeah,
that we
yeah,
do.
It's the Yes Very Clever Award.
Is that, Tom, that is my favourite award we do.
Yeah, it's the only one we do.
Just wait for the sting. Yeah. Yes, very clever. There it is.
Yep, that's the sting. This award is the Yes Very Clever Award. We give it to titles that are basically puns or like twists on existing film titles that we couldn't really do much with without being with that film.
Sure.
Going with the plot of that film.
Yeah.
So this one's very apt for that. It's from Toby James and it's Panic Mezzanine.
What?
Panic Room.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, yep, giving more of a purpose to the room.
Yes, very clever.
Yes, very clever.
How would you have a panic mezzanine? Like, it's not protected in the slicest.
Unless you pull up the ladder.
I guess. But then you may as well have a panic treehouse, right? Like...
Panic treehouse is the best idea. It's like panic, but treehouse. Ooh.
Mm, yeah.
So that was the Yes Very Clever Award.
Yep.
So before we move on to the main pitch again, we've got a Patreon page.
Yes. After thanking everyone for the Yes Very Clever Awards and for all your honourable mentions, we'd like to thank all of our amazing patrons who keep the show going and getting better and getting new equipment and all that stuff. The reason you can hear Ed so wonderfully and clearly is because we have a third mic. Thanks, literally thank you to the patrons on our page.
They are Stephen Douglas Thomas, Alex Keane, Mihir Trivedi, Spicy Boy, Brent Black, Joe Hegarty, Brandon Spanky Mills, My Waste of Talent, and Ross_Originals.
Thank you all. Thank you so much. You genuinely are heroes to us.
So yeah, if you want to get your name on that list and get a load of bonus stuff from us,
like the chance to vote for the genre that we do each week.
Yeah, you just need to pitch. You just need to pitch $1 a month to have
pitch
a
it that way.
Pitch it that way. Yes, you just need to pitch $1 a month our way to have a say in the genre we do every month, every week, even every week. So. Yeah, to get there, you have to go to patreon.com/ Life's a Pitch podcast. So yeah, just check it out, guys. We employ you to check it out because it does help keep the podcast running.
Do it.
Main pitch time.
Main pitch time!
That was maybe a little over the top.
Yeah, just...
Or given what the...
What's it called?
Just is.
So hyped up.
So hyped for the main pitch, what's it called?
Yeah. The main pitch this week, again from Sean Ashcroft, we've got The Portaloo Murders.
The Portaloo Murders.
Okay, so I think the location for this is not a Portaloo.
Yeah, you're right.
What?
I think it is the septic tank underneath a bank of Portaloos.
Oh, just the septic tank?
Yeah, so they're quite big and cavernous.
So, what if... this might be tough to do... It's one location.
One location. Real time.
Right. It's a set. We have built a set so that a camera can go from above ground to below ground. Right? So on one lift, you can see people walking into a Portaloo, and then you can see someone throwing, like, ripping up the thing, throwing a body down, like chopping up a body, putting it down, and the camera can pan down to underneath. So basically, you can see the link between all these Portaloos. So someone can get in one Portaloo, go down to the septic tank, and then climb up another set and come out of a different Portaloo. Right.
The thing I think about a Portaloo is they don't have septic tanks.
They're usually chemical toilets.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're porter, right?
Yeah.
They are, you can port them around.
There's nothing connecting them all.
There is this one. I don't know. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
There's nothing connecting
damn
them.
Damn you and your irrepressible knowledge of toilets.
Yeah, you do have too much knowledge about toilets.
Yeah. Damn.
Yeah.
However, the Portaloo
Okay, so it's a Portaloo company, and it's a warehouse, and the kind of the yard where they store all of the portaloos.
Or
Glastonbury.
The row of portaloos. Yeah. Like just a part of Glastonbury.
Wasn't Glastonbury like they dug a slit trench and it was just a long drop? My toilet. So it wasn't like, no. It wasn't a septic tank.
No.
Yeah. Okay. It was a latrine.
What? No. I'm sure it wasn't. I'm sure they have portaloos at Glastonbury.
All right.
Sure.
I mean, again, your knowledge of
portaloos seems to be better than anyone else's. That, like. Oh, just a music festival then. I'm sure they use them there.
Yeah,
okay. So it's a bank of portaloos.
Yes. Yeah. Kenneth Branagh playing Hercule Poirot is at Glastonbury.
No.
Just flat out. No, this is a terrible idea, Tom. What the fuck are you doing?
Kenneth Branagh as a faded rock star.
Okay. At faded rock star slash... It's like, you know those 90s cartoons where they were rock stars but they also solved crimes? I may be generalising. There may be one character that did that and I can't remember their name.
It's not like the Kenneth Branagh or whatever, the...
Gem and the Holograms.
Gem and the Holograms.
It might be something like that. I'm sure there was another few.
Hannah Montana? Did she solve crimes?
No.
Did Hannah Montana solve crimes?
No.
Did Lindsay Lohan, like, get up there?
It wasn't Lindsay Lohan.
Lindsay Lohan, Hannah Montana. Did she get up there and say, I've got it? It was Miley Cyrus. She done it. The evil one from Hannah Montana, Miley Cyrus.
Wait, no. I think you've missed.
Sorry?
Hannah Montana was also Hannah Montana and Miley Cyrus.
No. Miley Cyrus was the evil one, the bald headed evil one from Hannah Montana, played by Lindsay Lohan, right? And then she had two friends, Mary Kay and Ashley Olsen,
yeah,
who played her bodyguards.
Okay,
yeah, at the concerts. Okay. And then Lindsay Lohan, Hannah Montana, would go through and find all the bad stuff that Miley Cyrus was doing at her concerts, and say, "Stop doing drugs in the toilet." Miley Cyrus, and then she'd find the crime, and then the Olsen twins would throw her out.
John, that's how I remember it.
That's
how I remember it. So Kenneth Branagh.
So I've been Tom McGrath.
Kenneth Branagh is a faded rock star who has not only fallen on hard times, he's fallen on such hard times that he's had to invest in a portaloo company.
Yeah, so it went from like playing main stage. So yeah. Like to playing like the side stages.
Next to playing
the beer tent.
Yes, yeah, so to play the beer tent to not getting invited, so he had to like go
busk outside portaloos.
Yeah. He bought the portaloos
and won the
that
contract.
He was like, yeah.
So, and I quite like the idea of Ken Branagh in a portaloo with the door open, him just playing acoustic guitar.
And that will absolutely be a pivotal scene in the movie.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've got to keep on one portaloo.
Because he has the portaloo company. Do you know why? Because he has access to the artist-specific loos. Right? Because he's killing all the main stage artists at this music festival and trying to take their place.
But told from the point of view of a camera fixed on these bank of portaloos.
Because there are whole scenes you only hear.
VIP loos. So they are the VIP loos.
So that you get like the back of someone who looks a lot like Beyonce's head for like 5 minutes and some splashing noises, and then
Beyonce doesn't poo.
How dare you?
You weren't ready for that, Jelly.
Beyonce eat more fiber.
So you hear that, and then like they she opens up the door, and then like something like. Ken Branagh is standing there with a big moustache and a long goatee beard, sort of like
Poirot?
No, goatee beard, sort of reminiscent of
Three Musketeers?
Scottish comedian Billy Connolly. So he's got like the grey hair, long grey hair, a wide moustache and a goatee beard.
Yeah.
That's like maybe even dyed.
Purple.
Yeah, maybe not purple. I don't know, something. Like he's made himself some. Like, I don't want it to be Billy Connolly.
This is what I was thinking. Like, so he's killing off these stars.
In the VIP loos.
Yeah.
I'm thinking like that there could be acid.
I think it's the chemicals, right? Yeah, he floods it with chemicals and then they wash away.
Yeah. Apart from their skin.
That he gets to wear.
He puts the skin on.
What?
And goes out on stage as those stars.
Until
it puts the lotion in the basket.
On its what? So until there's someone he for some reason can't kill. And I'll tell you what it is. It's like it's the biggest is a Michael Bublé like character played by
Tom Cruise.
Played by Patrick Warburton. And Patrick Warburton, he never eats before he goes on stage.
Mm. It's a ritual.
Yeah. He doesn't eat. He's constipated. Like, he's like, do you know what my secret is? And I know I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why there's... You came off the stage and you never got back on that stage. What's this character's name?
Ken Branagh.
Yeah, but
we need a rock star name.
Zappo Gumption.
Thrush Magoo.
Okay. You know why you never got back on that stage, Thrush Magoo? Thrush, my friend, Thrush. I don't know how you say thrush in Patrick Warburton's voice.
Thrush.
Thrush.
Thrush Magoo's company is called Flush Magoo.
Yeah.
Flush Magoo.
Yes!
I want to go to a porta potty where the sign outside for the company is Flush
and there's M'Goo.
Yes!
Magoo.
So he's like, you know why you never got back on that stage? It's because as you got older, you kept eating, and I never eat before a performance, and that means I don't shit before a performance.
It's just Nick Cage. it's just your impression of Nick Cage.
Not quite. It's not quite as angry.
Patrick Warburton, the guy who does the voice of Joe from Family Guy.
Not like that's his worst voice.
Lemony Snicket.
Kronk from Kronk's New Groove.
Yes.
Yes.
Or the Emperor's New Groove.
So he's like, he says, I don't even need to use your porta potty there.
And kind of just treating him like kind of an errant school child. Just give it a try.
Just go
for a try.
Go for a try.
These are the best portaloos you'll ever see.
And like Patrick Warburton starts to get really suspicious of him.
Yeah.
All the other actors are falling ill, quote unquote. They're retired to their trailers or whatever, like, or having to leave, quote unquote, because they can't be found and not turning up to their performances. And then Thrush Magoo is turning up and going, I can play that set.
Yeah, so you get like a producer coming on, kind of walking into the loop area and sort of just staring at a clipboard. It's like, well, they've gone. What the fuck am I going to do? And like Flush Magoo just kind of reaches behind his back and pulls out a guitar. Is like, I'm available.
Yeah. So
I know all the Black Keys stuff.
Not wearing the skins at this point.
Clearly not.
I think maybe that comes later.
He'll get progressively more and more desperate.
That's the midpoint twist. Yeah, he's kept all the skins.
At some
of these
point,
rock stars.
What's his name? Rowan Atkinson, who's this producer, is like,
excellent.
You've played three sets now. You've played Elbow. You've played Beyoncé's set,
and now
you've played the Black Keys. I can't send you on another. I can't send you on another bloody stage. They'll boo you straight off. I'll be ruined.
One minute. Just disappears around kind of the back and comes back.
I think I can find
Beyoncé's hair.
Yeah, I think I think we should make this. Who is he becoming? One of the magic numbers.
Just one of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, no one really well known. Like, no Katy Perry's or one of the magic numbers.
The Zooton.
Just the Zooton.
It's me, the Zooton. Doodly dee, Valerie.
That's a line from the movie.
Look, it's me, the Zooton.
As well as the Zooton, there's at one point where the fucking... fuck it, the Wiggles. Just,
Wiggle. It's me, a Wiggle.
No, he just disappears and comes back with, like, three other jumpers
mannequin.
On a mop. On
a mop. Mannequins covered in the skin of the Wiggles.
There's a sentence I never thought of.
I can go new... Yeah, he's like, oh, we're ready to do the kids' stage now.
Yeah. Hot potato.
Just Ken Branagh on his own singing that.
With some mops.
With some
covered
mops in
skin.
Different coloured jumpers.
The thing is, Ken Branagh's kind of can't sing anymore, so he's just going up on stage with three brooms. Going, hot potato. Our potato, dressed in the skin of the Wiggles.
This is where the drums happen.
Unsurprisingly, gets booed off.
Yeah. And then
Rowan Atkinson, crowd go wild.
But no, Rowan Atkinson's like, the crowd. Well, that was amazing. That was an amazing performance.
Who else can you do?
No, Rowan Atkinson is in on it now.
Yeah.
Okay, wow, okay. Because it's his career, if anything happens.
Yeah, he's booked everyone and they're all fucked off.
Where are you getting these amazing costumes? Ken Branagh.
Ken Branagh taps his nose and goes, I'll show you.
Opens a portaloo door.
Let's just say my wardrobe is flush.
I feel dirty after that.
It's a film really about
what is it?
It's about the fickleness of fame.
Yeah, and celebrity worship.
And I think because it's like that Andy Kaufman sketch, right? I trusted you. He goes on stage, and because he goes on stage, everyone's screaming. Nobody knows who he is.
Yeah.
He just sings a song which has three words over and over again for 7.5 minutes and scares everyone, but everyone's still cheering and screaming because
he's Glastonbury.
Because he's on stage, right?
Yeah.
So the same is true of Ken Branagh. He goes on stage and people are screaming because he's a famous person on stage and there are lights. But then the crux of the film comes when Patrick Warburton discovers what's going on and he corners Flush Magoo into his own porta potty, and he's like, I know what you're doing. I know you're killing these people, and I'm gonna prove it, and I've got all the evidence, and I'm gonna turn you into the authorities, and then clunk over the back of the head with a big toilet brush is Rowan Atkinson. And he's
both got to struggle to get him into the nearest.
I think that's
dissolve
like
dissolve him.
Yeah, that's the turning point is when Rowan Atkinson gets in on the act.
Yeah,
and then it's just like from then on it's like complete complicity, and that's where we cut away. That's kind of where it's like from then on these two people did this festival.
Yes, all of
it's
it.
It's called Frush Fest.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it wasn't at the start, but it will be. At the
end. Yeah. Glastonbury 2018. Frushfest 2019.
Horrible. What a horrible name.
Yeah. You didn't come for the thrush. You'll go home with it.
You'll go home with the fest.
So because this is a one location thing in the courtyard where all these loos are,
so
you can just
backs onto the main stage.
You can just hear him playing. Like you can just hear. You can see his costume. Mm. You see him go up the stairs onto the stage, going hot potato.
That's his act for every one of the acts.
No, he's just. Like, no, we. I'm
Foo
sorry.
Fighters,
if you. If you can't, I'm sorry, if you cannot, have it's me the Zooton, and then have him go, doodly dee, Valerie, and then, hey, the best performance ever given!
You've got celebrity cameos, endless celebrity cameos.
Yeah. And then just him doing an impression of whatever he thinks that music is.
Yeah, that kind of thing. So, What have we got?
it's like Groove Armada go on, and it's just like... Groove Armada go on, and he's just like, this is not your average chocolate pudding. It's M&S chocolate pudding. It's the song from M&S. And then everyone goes, yeah, I remember that song from M&S.
Like the legend of the Phoenix. Like the legend of the Phoenix. Like the legend of the Phoenix.
Yeah.
He just keeps saying that for the whole set.
Yeah. Like the legend of the Phoenix. He's heard the first 3 seconds of each.
Yeah. Like Rowan Atkinson's queuing him
in. He's got time to check his tune before as he goes up the stairs.
God, you're reminding me of so many wedding bands. Oh my God, I've worked with so many wedding bands who have like basically not known the first dance song, and like during the time that they're setting up, the lead singer is watching the YouTube video for the thing and they just like they just sort of like have on an iPad. They have the lyrics and they're just karaokeing
it. Oh my God.
Oh,
the Proclaimers, but one of them is still alive and he's taken the skin out of one.
It's me, a proclaimer.
I'm a proclaimer.
Is he like wrangle Frankie Boyle to go on stage? The other one?
Yeah. Yeah, at one point Rowan Atkinson goes on with big glasses and says, I am also a proclaimer. And Rowan Atkinson can't sing, so it's just Ken Branagh going like, and I would walk 500 miles, and then it goes over, and then it goes over to Rowan Atkinson and he goes, and I'm also a proclaimer.
I would just love the other. I would walk 500 miles.
Me too.
And I would walk 500 miles. And I would walk 500 miles. And I would walk 500 miles.
And he goes, da da da. And then Frank, and then Greg Kingston goes, me too. And then. Da da da. Me too. Da da da.
I think at the end of this, the Proclaimers gig is the big finale.
Shit, festival.
It's fresh fleshed. Fresh fleshed. He's wearing the flesh of rock stars.
I hate this. I hate thinking about this movie.
And the film they're playing, I would walk 500 miles, and I would walk 500 miles, and I would walk, and it's zooming out, and then Morgan Freeman goes, they played that song for 500 miles.
It's not zooming out anywhere. You've got to stay in the one location.
Yeah.
You can just... As the camera disappears down the bottom of a portaloo, I would walk 500 miles, just more and more reverb on it as it fades into the black.
Yeah, and then we see all the bones of the dead celebrity.
Yeah. The end.
Yeah. He gets no comeuppance for this.
No.
The portaloo murders. The Portaloo Murders sounds like a genuine mystery.
What a fucking film.
I'm so sorry.
It was a
I'm pretty
coaster.
Sure Reese Shearsmith and Steve Pemberton wrote this. It's that bad. Yes, yeah, suck it, Reese.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no. So that was the Portaloo Murders.
Yeah.
So, yeah, well done for getting this far, if you're still listening. If you didn't tune out...
You need to stop telling people well done for getting to the end.
Yeah, well done for getting to the end.
If you have got this far, though, it means you must like us enough to continue listening. Thank you for that. And if you want to keep it going, if you want there to be another episode of this, maybe you want to go over to patreon.com/Life's a Pitch Podcast and you can go and help us out with a little bit of cash. So... Thank you, Ed, for coming on to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Where can people find you if they want to?
So I'm a member of the Shrimps, Sheffield University's Improv Society, and I also host a monthly radio show called Right Radio on Sheffield Live Radio, where if people are interested and want to share things that they've written, be they kind of comedic, sketch, poetry, literature, whatever, they can send that through to writeradio@sheffieldlive.org, and we will get it, cast it, put it on the air, and we'll do all that for free because we're amazing.
Yeah, it's a great little hub for Sheffield creativity. Yes. So go and check that out.
Yes.
Make sure that spreads to the ends of the earth.
Mm-hmm. And we're actually just casting for a Write Funny show as well. So we have a big casting call. So if you have written any sketches that you want us to put on, or you want to have an idea,
if you want to have an idea.
So right, what about this? Right, what about if there was a toilet cubicle and there'd been a murderer on the loose? And
quite how you do that, accomplish that on the radio?
I could do it. I've written radio drama
then do
before.
It. Then do it.
I'm writing radio drama now.
Then do it.
I haven't written anything on that script for the last like a year.
Submit to writeradio@sheffieldlive.org.
Right.
Yeah.
Radio.
There you go. Right, radio.
Radio, right?
Yes.
So, thank you for listening. Thank you for enjoying the podcast, and thank you for supporting us. Thank you for sharing it with your friends. And until you find yourself at work or in a profession you don't really like, in an area that you do, and deem it time to take matters into your own hands. Into your own bloody hands.
Fecal stained hands.
I've been Matt Turner.
I've been Tom McGrath.
I've been Ed Crawley.
And until next time, remember who pitched it.
Bye!
The end.